Amen. We do know somebody's listening. We do know that somebody hears us. Every prayer we secretly pray, we have the assurance that He loves us. And I pray and trust that in a reciprocal way, we evidence every day our love for Him as well. We don't want love to just flow in one direction. Stacy Lattisaw, many years ago, sang back in the 70s, "I found love on a two-way street, but I lost it on a lonely highway." And she asked the question, how could I be so blind to fall in love the very first time? The most meaningful kind of love on a spiritual plane is love on a two-way street. Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And He says, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you to do." And He further said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." It's easy to talk a good game, but where the rubber meets the road is when we put into practice and validate our verbal and oral affirmations of love. It's so good to see you this morning. It's good to be here this morning. We appreciate the way we've been led in our singing, and we appreciate the scripture lesson read by Brother Quarles and the prayer that was led by Brother Clemens, and we appreciate all of you. It's a wonderful thing to be able to worship God together as He directs us in His divine word. I bring you greetings from the elders and the minister of the Second Avenue Church of Christ in Lewisburg, Tennessee. That's where we were last week. I appreciate those of you who prayed that things would go well for us. It's always good to be back home. I'm sure Brother Triplett did a fine job as he stood in my stead on last Lord's Day. He is at the Roberts Street Church of Christ in Sparta, Tennessee, on today. We pray that they'll have a good trip and a safe trip, and that things will go well for them as well. I also bring you greetings from Brother James McCullough. Yeah, I had an opportunity to see Brother McCullough and to fellowship with Brother McCullough, and Brother McCullough seems to be doing real well. As a matter of fact, it doesn't seem like he's missed any meals. Yeah, he's robust. Yeah, he has been eating some good food, and judging from the food they served us between services on last Sunday, I can understand. And after we finished eating our meal, I saw him again sitting in the auditorium, and I said, "Man, that was some good food." He said, "You can see why I look like this now, can't you?" But he sent his regards to the Hart Street congregation. He misses being here. He now has a place of his own, and that's a lot better than sharing a place with as many individuals as he was sharing a place with before he got a place of his own. One of the brothers there works in real estate, and he was able to facilitate Brother James getting his own place, and so he's very pleased, very happy about that. Turn in your Bibles, please. Turn in your Bibles to the scripture lesson that was read just a few moments ago by Brother Derek Quarles. He read for us verses 11 through 20. verses 11 through 20. Near the end of Moses' life, he spoke some lengthy discourses to the Israelites. In these discourses, he reviewed the various laws and warnings that were to govern their lives. I want to just reemphasize some things here and reread some verses. Let's look, first of all, especially at verse 11. Later, we're going to just zero in on verse number 19. Verse number 15 and 19. But I want you to pay particularly close attention. Verse number 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. And what Moses is saying, speaking for God, that the commandment that he is giving to them, it is not hidden from them. It is clearly revealed. It is not distant. It is not far off. Notice in verse 12, emphasizing this truth, he says, it is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. What he's saying is, really, you don't have any excuse. The commandments of God are not far off. They're not way up in heaven, and you have to send somebody up to heaven in order to get them and bring the commandments down that you may do them. You are without excuse. The immediacy, the availability, the closeness of God's commands makes it very simple for us to accept them and for us to act in obedience to them. You remember the parable of the wedding banquet that we studied about last Lord's Day. You remember that the king was walking among the guests, and he found among those in attendance a man who did not have on a wedding garment. Y'all remember that? He did not have on the proper attire. And the king was quite upset with him. Said, how came you in hither without proper garments? How did you get in here garmentless? And the Bible says that in response to the king's inquiry, in response to the king's challenge, the guest without proper garments, the Bible says he was what? He was speechless. He couldn't say anything. He had no legitimate reason. He had no legitimate excuse for making his way into the banquet without the proper attire. So he was a speechless guest without a garment. He had no justifiable reason. And I say that to say that in reality, the Bible is saying here, God is saying to the Israelites, to his people, when it comes to having an understanding of what my requirements are, there is no excuse. There's no justifiable reason for you to reject my word and fail to make the right choices. You don't have to go up into heaven or send somebody to heaven to bring down God's word to you that you might hear it and do it, because it's already close. As we proceed, I'd like for you to look at Romans 10, verses 8 through 10. I'll be over there in just a moment. Romans 10, verses 8 through 10. But going back to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse number 13. Verse number 13 in Deuteronomy 30, talking about the commandment of God, the word of God, the law of God. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for me or for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. I find this very fascinating. The Lord makes it unmistakably clear that his word is immediately available. It's not beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. In verse number 14, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. It's not up in heaven. You don't have to go up into heaven or send somebody up into heaven to bring it down that you may hear it and may do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you might feel you have to send somebody across the sea and bring it back that you may hear it and do it. He says, the word is nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. You know, we have been blessed tremendously, who have grown up in homes headed by Christians, being privileged to attend worship services on a regular basis, being able to attend Bible classes, being able to hear the teaching and the preaching of God's word, having Bibles in our possession, having numerous Bibles in our homes, Bibles on our shelves, Bible on our dressers, Bible on our coffee tables, and Bibles in our cars, and hopefully Bibles in our hearts, and Bibles in our heads as well. The Word of God has always been close to many of us. The Word of God has been close, it's been nigh, it's been near, it's been immediately available to us. And so in reality, there is no excuse for us not knowing it. There is no excuse for us not understanding it. There's no excuse for us not obeying it. There's no excuse for us not experiencing commensurate spiritual growth and development, because the word is very nigh unto us. Now, Paul bring the same concept home for our consideration in Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. He begins in the interrogative asking, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He said, what says it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We oftentimes think of Colossians 3:16. That's one of Brother William's favorite passages. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, in order for the word to dwell in us, we have to get it in us first. You know, you can't have it dwelling in you if you don't get it in you. The psalmist exclaimed many years ago in Psalm 119 and verse number 9, I believe it is, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." So Moses said to God's people then, the word is very nigh unto you. It's very close unto you. That was a little old lady in Grand Rapids, Michigan, 1973. I was trying to sell her a new Bible, a new family Bible. She already had one Bible. But the Bible she had, I did sell her another one, by the way. But the Bible she had, she claimed to really love it. And that little old lady grabbed that Bible and was just dancing around. And she said, "I love my Bible." And then she picked it up and she held it up and she kissed it. She said, "I love this Bible. And I kiss it every day." I said, bless your heart. Bless your heart. I know she was trying to express her affection for the Word of God. But that's not the proper way to express your affection for the Word of God. In order to really express your affection for the Word of God, you need to not kiss the Bible, but implement its principles in your life every day. If you want to show that you love God, if you want to show that you love the Bible, you don't have to kiss the Bible, but just actively obey its requirements each and every day of your life. The psalmist further said, "How love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Isn't that a wonderful thing? That the word is so near. The word is so available. The word is so close to us that all we have to do is live by it. Verses 15 and 19. "See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil." In verse number 19, he affirms again, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." Life is made up of a series of choices. We have to choose for ourselves. In verse 15, God summarizes what he had been saying to the Israelites. Namely, he's setting before the people the two ways of life. He has shown them the right way and has warned them about the wrong way. So let us consider these two ways. Let us consider the vital choice that must be made. by everybody. Nobody can make these choices or specifically this choice for you. We consider the categories of the ways. The only two categories of life in verse 15 and verse 19. A good way and an evil way. You are either right or wrong. Good or evil. You're going to either go to heaven or hell. You choose. There is no middle ground. Jesus emphasized this cogent and disturbing truth in the Sermon on the Mount when he spoke about the two ways in Matthew 7. Says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way which leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, for straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. It's a matter of making a choice, a matter of choice that you have to make, a matter of choice that I have to make individually. Nobody can make it for me. The poet was right when he affirmed, once to every man and nation comes the moment to decide in the strife of truth or falsehood for the good or evil side. He was also right when he said, to every man thou openeth the highway and the low, and every man decides the way his soul shall go. The high soul treads the highway, and the low soul gropes the low, and in between on the misty flats, the rest drift to and fro. But to every man thou openeth a highway and a low, and every man decides the way his soul shall go. Where are you on your way to? Are you on your way to heaven? Are you on your way to the other place? Are you on your way to hell? We need to think about this soberly. And the thing about choices is, our choices not only affect us, but our choices affect others as well. Ask the man who drinks and becomes drunken or inebriated and gets behind the wheel and drives and runs head on into a car of innocent passengers and kills all of them. He made a choice. He decided that he was going to drink and drive. It affected him. And oftentimes the guy who's drunk, he comes out all right. He kills everybody else. Our choices, our decisions, not only affect us, but they affect others as well, both good and bad. Notice verse 19 again, and parents need to be aware of this serious truth. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Notice that both thou and thy seed, your children, may live. So the choices that we make not only affect us, but they affect others as well, especially those that are close to us. We need to be cognizant of the two ways. See, I have set before thee this day. Moses had made plain to Israel the two ways of life. Israel had no excuse for going wrong. They could not claim ignorance about which way to live, for they were fully aware of the ways of life. We cannot claim ignorance about the way of life either. God has shown us so many ways, the ways of life. God uses our consciences. God uses our friends. God uses our parents. God uses our teachers. God uses our elders. God uses our preachers. God uses our brothers and our sisters in Christ. He uses so many different things in order to help us know and make the right choices. He uses all these means to inform us of the ways of life, but especially does God use his word to inform us about the ways of life. Whenever you're confronted with a choice, before making your selection, before making your decision, you need to have as much information as possible. You need to be aware of the resultant consequences of your choice. If you choose death, be aware of the consequences. If you choose life, be aware of the consequences. If you choose evil, be aware of the consequences. If you choose good, be aware of the consequences. If you choose to try drugs, you need to consider, what are the consequences? You know, what's going to happen to me if I smoke this marijuana joint? What's going to happen to me if I be dragged on into trying some harder things, some cocaine? What's going to happen to me if I begin drinking on a social level? What's going to happen to me if I try that beer? What's going to happen to me if I begin to drink the wine coolers? What's going to happen to me if I begin to drink wine? What's going to happen to me if I begin to take a shot of Jack Daniels? What's going to happen to me when I make this particular choice? What's going to happen to me if I finally decide, well, I'm older now, and I can go ahead and I know what everybody says, but it seems to be so much fun and so enjoyable when we see it on the movies and when we see it on television and when we see it in the videos. What's so bad about trying sex? I know I'm not married yet, but what's so bad if I make the choice, if I make the decision to give sex a try premaritally prior to finding a mate and committing myself to one person? What's so bad about just having sex? Oh, I know folks say that I might get somebody pregnant, or I know folks say that as a young lady I might end up pregnant. But I can always talk to the nurse at school, and I can get some pills. I can get some contraceptive measures.
I can keep a condom in my purse. What's so bad about that? Isn't that practicing safe sex?
You know, safe sex is no sex if you're not married. It's a matter of choice. But if I make him use some protection, I'll be all right. There is no condom for the heart. Don't sell yourself cheap. Think about the consequences. In some areas, there's an escalation of STD, sexually transmitted diseases. We need to gather the facts and ask ourselves, what's going to happen if I make this choice as opposed to making some other choice? You don't want to be afflicted with chlamydia, pelvic inflammatory disease, young ladies. You don't want to be affected with genital herpes. You don't want to be afflicted with gonorrhea or syphilis or HIV or AIDS. Some people might say, Brother Jones, you trying to scare us. Well, if I can scare you, good. But you don't have to be scared into making right choices. You just have to use your noggin. Use your brain, use your mind. You know, Brother Gary talked about the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins. You know, one of the things that I can appreciate, Zali, we didn't mention it, but one of the things I can appreciate, at least bad choices, but all 10 of them were virgins. You know, they had something going for them. They didn't prepare properly. They didn't take extra oil with them, but I can appreciate the fact that all 10 of them are virgins. So now, those five that were foolish, you know, at least one, they made one wise decision, didn't they, Gary? Yeah, when they decided, we're going to stay virgins. Yeah, we're going to remain virgins. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to remain a virgin. And I'm not just talking about the girls. I'm talking about the guys as well. We have to think about our decisions, our choices. When you're making a career choice, try to select something that's going to provide you with a good living. Try to select something that is not going to bring you into conflict with the word and will of God. Pray about your choices. Pray about your decisions. When you're choosing a mate, make sure that you choose somebody that loves the Lord more than they love you. Make sure you choose somebody that is going to treat you right and help you go to heaven. We have to make our decisions in view of the consequences of the ways. Life and good, death and evil. Note in our verse for today that life is paired with good while death is paired with evil. There are different outcomes to different ways of living. All roads do not lead to heaven. All lifestyles do not have the same consequences. Some like to deny this fact. These folks tell us that booze and pornography and gambling and immorality and lying and promiscuity and other evils do not hurt us. Don't believe it, none. They insist you can live any way you want and still do well. But the truth about the two ways is that good brings life. Evil brings death. Mock the truth about the two ways and you'll regret it for all eternity. Every day we are faced with decisions. Every day we are faced with choices. You are faced with a choice today. You are faced with a vital decision today. If you're present today and you're not yet a Christian, you can choose to become one today. If you're present and you're already a Christian, but you've been unfaithful, you've fallen by the way, you've lapsed into an unfortunate situation of lackadaisical commitment to the Lord, you can choose to change today. You can choose through repentance, confession, and prayer to rededicate your life to the Lord today. If you have never become a Christian, you can choose to become one today through obedience to the gospel. You've heard it, believe it, repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And you can begin to walk in the newness of life. Amen. Choose good, not evil. Choose life, amen, not death. Choose heaven, not hell. The opportunity is yours as we together stand and as we sing.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh, haste to the green. 'Tis the fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come?
Why not choose to come today?
To the fountain.
Why not choose to come to the fountain free? It's available for you, and it's available for me. Why not hear the welcome call?
Tis a fountain open for all. There's a living stream with a crystal gleam from the throne of life.
Now it flows.
While the water grows, let the weary soul hear the call that forth freely goes. Will you come to the fire?